Thank you, Pastor Robert. Good morning. Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me for a minute? Let's extend our hands to Pastor Robert, Ms. Laura. Praise the Lord. Lord, we just thank you for Pastor Robert and Laura. God, we thank you for calling them, saving them, healing them, and delivering them from everything the devil ever did in their life. Thank you, Lord, for breaking every chain over their soul, over their spirit, over their minds. Thank you, God, for opening up the opportunity for them to be pastors of this church, for making a miracle happen. Thank you, Lord, that they are equipped, that they are called, they're chosen, and that, God, you have put within them the answers for the people of this congregation. You've given them wisdom, revelation, understanding, love, loyalty, faithfulness, vision, sincerity, purity, and God, a spirit of integrity. Thank you for the anointing of worship on Sister Laura, God, that you've given her to write songs that move the people to stand before the throne of God. And Father, I ask you that you keep them healthy all their life, that Robert live to be an old, old man full of energy and strength and power and wisdom, and God, that the best days are still ahead for both of them. Give them a lot of years, God, of enjoying victories and successes in the kingdom of God. Give them thousands of orphans, thousands of widows, thousands of poor people all over the earth, God. Let, God, miracles happen from Utopia. Put Utopia on the map so that people will be connected to the kingdom of God. Bless the movie, God, that's coming out about Utopia. Let people come to Utopia and visit Utopia because of the movie. And let them come to the church, get saved, get delivered, and then go back all over the world to spread the gospel from this one place where they met Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, we speak the spirit of favor over everything in this city. Save all the lost folks. Men and women, God, that are fighting and hurting each other, hurting their children. Save them, deliver them, break the iniquities of the fathers over the city, God. For 100 miles radius, loose everybody and set them free. God, let a volcanic eruption of faith and prayer and joy break loose on Living Waters Church. Make everybody a dangerous weapon in your hand. Fill their hands, God, with power and love and goodness and compassion and empathy and purity. God, thank you for blessing this church and doubling the church in size of people, finances, vision, influence, and purpose. In the name of Jesus. And one last thing, Father, would you just send a nice and measured deluge of water, just the way it has to come, Lord. Just make it come however it has to come. Praise the Lord. Little bit, little bit, little bit. Hours and hours. Whatever it has to be, just send it down in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. Glory to God. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, how are you? Everybody okay? Amen. How many of you believe God has something to say to you today at church? And I would like you to go to James chapter 1, if you would, in your Bibles. And we're going to begin to minister to you in a two-part message today, part 1 and part 2. But how many of you believe that God always has something to say when we go to church? And that it's not a lack of information that we have, it's a lack of hearing. God says things, but it doesn't mean we actually heard what he said. It's like a mother with a little child. Have you ever noticed, for those of you that are mothers, that when you were raising your children, you developed almost a supernatural sense of deafness towards your children? And that your children had to develop attention-getting techniques, such as mama, 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 mama. I noticed this in some of our children as they were growing up. When we were engrossed in something and captured by something, they would just almost be playing and saying the word, because they knew in their heads, they're not going to hear me the first time, so I'm going to need to say this about 1,000 times. And somewhere between the next 5 minutes, they will actually hear me and pay attention to me. And the kingdom of God is the same, and Christians are the same. Every Sunday that you come to church, God provides for you an answer to your problems through the preaching of the message of the Word of God. Pastor Robert has been preaching here for a long time. He's probably preached hundreds and hundreds of messages. So for every problem you have, God has already provided in abundance many solutions to those problems. However, many people who go to church still have the same problems that they had 5, 10, and 15 years ago. Not because they don't know the answers, but they haven't been able to receive the answer. And so the problem then is that if we listen, we're stirred, but if we hear, we're going to be changed. And so there's evidence to hearing something. When I was growing up, my mother was a very sweet woman, about 103 pounds, and never raised her voice, never yelled at me, never criticized me, never threatened me, never accused me, never said anything mean to me. Ever that I can remember, I never even heard her raise her voice my entire life to anybody. And so she would tell me things to do and things not to do in a very loving and sweet and nice way. And I would always say to my mom, of course, mom, of course, mom, of course, mom. And then I would go out and do it anyway. I had a 200-pound grandmother who owned a restaurant in the Red Light District. And when the alcoholics would come into a restaurant and start messing with the waitresses, she would get a big tortilla roller, a big dough roller, and put it behind her back. And she'd call me to follow her. And she'd go and then tap the person on the shoulder. And then with that tortilla roller, she would hit him right across the nose really hard and knock him down. And then she'd straddle him and start to beat him. And on several occasions, three that I can remember, I got blood on my shoes from her beating these people. And she would tell me while she was beating them, if you ever hit a woman or take a drink of liquor, this is what I'm going to do to you. Pam, pam, pam. Now, which one of the two women in my life do you think I actually heard? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, which one did I hear? Not just listen to, but which one did I hear? Praise the Lord. I'm not advising that you use that on each other. But I'm just saying that there comes a point in your life where God has to heal your ears. Because our ears have become sick from the lies we have believed and from the pains that we have absorbed. And so when we hear God speak to us, a lot of us don't hear what God is saying because it has to be filtered through the pain that we have in our life. And it has to be filtered through the lies we have chosen to believe. So God then is on a crusade of healing our hearing. Praise the Lord. And so that's what's going to happen this morning and tonight, is we're going to just get miracle ears, so that we can have ears that hear what God is saying. Remember, we don't want to just be stirred and then stay the same. We want to hear and change. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to read to you some verses out of James 1. But be doers of the word, and not only hearers or listeners, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. For if anyone listens to the word without obeying it and being a doer of it, He is like a man who looks carefully at his own natural face in a mirror, for he thoughtfully observes himself and then goes off and promptly forgets what he was like. But he who looks carefully into the faultless law of liberty and is faithful to do it and preserves in looking into it, being not a heedless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he shall be blessed in his doing, his life of obedience. And then in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 27, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on a solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. When Jesus concluded his address, the crowd burst into applause. They had never heard teaching like this before. Praise the Lord. So two very powerful parts of Scripture there, that only if you hear are you safe from disaster. You are not safe from the disasters of life if you only listen to what God is trying to say. You're only safe if you actually hear what he tells you. Praise the Lord. And so the way you know that you have heard something is something changes. The way you know you've heard something is you're persuaded to live differently. The way you know that something has changed is you develop a conviction about what God tells you, not a preference. A conviction. Remember that a conviction is something you're willing to die for because you believe it so deeply and strongly. The way you know that you have heard what God is saying is it produces fruit in that area of your life. Anybody can shout about what they hear and agree with, and anybody can say, I agree, but it's a whole different thing when something changes in your life. You don't want Pastor Robert and all the preachers who minister to you to waste their messages. And you don't want to read the Bible without results. And you don't want to live a life where you're living on a Ferris wheel and just going around in circles dealing with the same problems over and over and over again. You want to live a solution life. You want to live a life that when God speaks, you change. When God says something, something is fixed. When what is broken is fixed. When what is sick gets healed. When what is bound gets delivered. And what miseries you have begin to disappear out of your life. Am I talking to anybody or am I by myself? Is this the kind of Christianity you want? Don't you want an active, action-filled Christianity where you can see and actually put your hands on the substance of your Christianity, because you're not just living a shadow life. You're not living in the shadows, you're living in the substance of Christianity. You're not just saying, I believe in joy, you're feeling joy. You're not just saying, oh, I believe in love, you're walking in love. You're not just saying, oh, I believe in peace. No, you actually feel peace. You have it in your spirit. You have it in your mind. You got the substance, not just the shadow of things. We don't want to just be intellectually saved, but we want to be experientially saved. And that's the whole idea of being able to hear what God is trying to say to you. So throughout our lives, because we're lied to and we're deceived and we're manipulated and we're controlled and we're offended and we're hurt and we're abused by people, we develop hearing problems and disorders that God has to come into our life and heal. Praise the Lord. And how many of you want God to heal your ears today? Because remember what I'm about to tell you. The devil lives in sick ears. If you go to jail or a prison and go talk to the prisoners, you will find that every prisoner there has some form of delusion. They have some deception they have believed about life, people, their families, their future, God, the Bible. They have all forms of deceptions and lies they've chosen to believe. And those lies have made them sick in the ability that they don't trust anybody, they don't believe in anybody, they have confidence in nothing, there are no absolutes in their life, everything is variable, everything is movable, there's no solidness to them, no stability to their life, and so they wrestle against finding some place they can stand on that they can trust, and eventually they only get to the place where the strongest is the person that's going to survive, and you take it before they take it from you, and you conquer before they conquer you, and you get the stuff before they get it from you. And so they develop a very ugly, you know, view of living life because they've never met anybody who actually is trustworthy. God is not a con man. You can actually trust what God tells you. Praise the Lord. There is a war going on today for your ears. It is between God and the devil. Whoever captures your attention will win your loyalty. If the devil captures your attention, you will be loyal to the philosophies of the devil. If God captures your attention, you will be loyal to the philosophies of God. Praise the Lord. You and I have to decide who we're going to listen to and who's going to capture our attention. Praise the Lord. How many have ever been told anything to do? Have you ever bought something and the person that you were buying it from, the dealer, whoever, told you what to do with your car or motorcycle or gun or anything? They just told you, you got to do this, or if you don't do this, these things will happen if you don't do it. I bought a trailer one time, 35-foot trailer. And the guy told me real clearly over and over again. He told me all these things to do and not to do. He said, if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen. Do you understand what I'm telling you, sir? I said, yeah, I understand what you're telling me. You've told me three times. I understand what you're telling me. He said, no. You really need to hear what I'm telling you. It's got a septic tank. The septic tank's going to fill up. If you don't empty that septic tank, you're going to have problems with this. It's going to really, you're going to have problems. I said, I hear you, but I didn't hear. And I drove up to a Red Lobster one day with my trailer, let my wife out, looked in the mirror, and the septic tank exploded and was shooting out into the cars. I screamed at my wife to get back in the car. And I said, let's get out of here. The septic tank broke. And I drove off and it was shooting, hitting cars and driving down the highway with all the septic shooting out there. My wife was screaming at me, stop, go back. You can't just do all that. You can't do that. Because you know the truth, ladies and gentlemen, a man of God would have stopped and gone back and cleaned up the mess. A man of God would have done that. Yes, he would have. Any man of God with integrity would have done that. I just kept going, man. And I went off into a side road. And I sold that thing the next week. Praise the Lord. Man of God. I'm sorry. Praise the Lord. I said, I'm repenting later. Praise God. I'm not going back. That was a long time ago, but praise the Lord. We learn as we go. The purpose of this message is to restore the voice of the pastor back to the ears of the church. Because every Sunday you come to church, God knows you're coming, and he prepares a message to the pastor for him to answer your questions and to minister to your needs so that you can get set free. If you're not in the right state of mind, then you don't get set free and you stay bound up, and God does not accomplish in your life what you need him to accomplish because you didn't hear even if you listened. Praise the Lord. So we're going to heal the diseases and the disorders of our ears this morning. Look at two people and say, praise God. I looked up the word hearing in the Bible, and I'm going to just give you some of the definitions that I found for the word hearing and see if you think this is interesting. To hear means to take aim at the light and to spy out the truth. It means to slay the negative and behold the positive. It means to become like what you hear. It means to slay the questions with answers. Isn't that beautiful? It means to cease from fearing the results of your hearing. It means to cleave to the illumination. It means to receive the breath that brings life. It means to tremble in honor at what you hear. This is how you know you're hearing. Praise the Lord. It means to walk within the scene. In other words, when you hear, you see things. When somebody describes something, you actually see things. When somebody is describing something to you, especially if they're really good at describing it, you see. And it says to cleave, to cling on to the scene. That which the Word of God reveals to you within your own mind as you're listening to God talk to you about your life. I think that's pretty powerful. Praise the Lord. It means this: to regard as sacred by submitting to its demands. That's how you hear. And then it means to remove the scales from both ears. Praise the Lord. So, a lot of us come to church or read our Bibles or talk with one another and we say the right words, but we don't get the right results. Can I ask you a question, ladies and gentlemen? How many of you have any problems in your life? Let me see your hands. How many of you have any problems in your life? And how many of your problems are associated with you? Like you're the problem. And how many of you have had that problem for a long time and you really would like a solution now? Because the problem you have within yourself is not just causing you the problem, it's causing everybody you're close to a problem. Do you have anybody in your life that complains about you? Let me see your hands. How many of you have anybody that complains about some area of your life and they say, you know, why are you like that? Will you ever change? Are you ever going to change? Will you ever listen to me? Are you listening to me? How would your children be today if they did everything you told them? How would you be if you could go back in your life and actually obey all the things that if you had obeyed them, now that you know that you're older and you can look back. See, you know, if I had just done that, I would have never gotten into this. I would have never had that problem. I would have never had that situation come up. I would have had a totally different life if I had just listened to my mother or listened to my dad or listened to God or listened to whatever. But I was stubborn and self-willed and hard-headed. And I decided I knew better than God did and my parents did and everybody did. And so I'm just going to do what I want to do. And now perhaps, some of you are in a cage of a circumstance that you put yourself into because you didn't hear what God was trying to tell you to get you out of trouble. Praise the Lord. Yeah, maybe you wouldn't have married that person and you wouldn't have had all the misery and pain of getting beat up and smashed up and all the other things they did to you. Yes, maybe you wouldn't have had the friends you had that got you hooked on alcohol or drugs. Praise God. Then you would have never gone to jail. Then you would never be right now, you know, in danger of this and danger of that. There are so many things that we suffer because we do not hear. Praise the Lord. Does God love you? Let me see. How many of you believe that? Does God love you enough to tell you the truth? Yes. So it's not a lack of the telling. It's a lack of the receiving. Let's see if we can get through this and we can learn something. Praise the Lord. Okay, so hearing then is the door of miracles. If you can hear it, then you can get a miracle from it. Because hearing is the mouth of your spirit. Hearing is the mouth of your spirit. The way you feed yourself spiritually is by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. So if you're able to hear something, it can save your life. Praise the Lord. How many miserable things have you had happen to you, even though people told you, you got to stop that, you got to stop that, you got to stop that, and you just won't do it, can't do it, can't do it, and then you suffer all kinds of thorns and thistles in life because you're not able to hear it. So it's really, really important that we're able to receive exactly. Remember that the devil's goal is to make us God deaf so that we don't hear what God is saying, but we hear everything else. I don't want to be God deaf. Do you want to be God deaf? I had a friend named Larry, and he was my responsibility mentoring him as a young man. I was only 18, and he got saved. He was a drug smuggler and sold drugs and all that, got saved, gloriously saved, loved God for a while, but he had a really bad temper, and he got very easily offended. He was very oversensitive. He had a lot of wounds inside of him, and he just couldn't get over, and he got mad at people really easy. And I kept telling him, you know, your temper is going to get you in trouble one day if you don't deal with this. You need to take this to the cross. And he would agree with his head, but he would never do it. And I would always tell him, you know, you can stop doing this if you want. And he said, no, I can't. Anyway, one day he got mad at a preacher, got on his motorcycle and bought some liquor and got drunk. And while driving his motorcycle, he ran head on into a semi and got killed. And then they came to our house in the morning and told us, you know, that he was dead because he never heard what God was trying to say to him. How many of you believe that God doesn't tell you things in vain? How many believe that if God tells you to fix something, he's saying it because he knows something you and I don't know about the future? And that if you'll just fix it when he tells you, it'll save you some pain in the future. How many of you do not like pain? How many of you do not like pain? Pain either makes you a monster or it makes you a minister. It either makes you bitter or it makes you better. It either makes you sweet or it makes you sour, depending on how you handle the pain. Because pain is going to keep coming. You live in a world full of pain. People are going to hate you. People are going to lie about you. People are going to try to steal from you. They're going to try to stab you in the back, cut your throat. They're going to try to deceive you, swindle you. They're going to try to do all kinds of stuff because that's the world we live in. And this is just the people in church. I'm not even talking about people outside the church. You understand what I'm saying? So let's get that right. Praise the Lord. The best people on earth are in church, and the worst people on earth are in church. And so you have to understand the realities of life, that we don't live in a crystal house or in a bubble. This is reality. If you hear what God tells you, when he tells you, and make the adjustment, then you will get the victory. Praise God. Turn to somebody and say, holla, holla. That's what I'm talking about. If you go through the Bible and you just observe the people, because remember this word, what you do not hear, you dismiss. Anything I say that you do not hear, you're going to dismiss it, and it's just going to be air. It will mean nothing to you and put no pressure on you to make an adjustment. Your journey ends when you stop being adjustable. The minute you say, I'm not changing, I'm not doing anything, I'm staying just the way I am, your journey with God is over. Because God is a God that lives in forward motion. He is never in park, and he never goes backwards. If you want to be where God is, you have to be in motion, growing and expanding and adjusting areas of your life. Praise the Lord. And how many of you want the peace of God in your life? And the love of God and the joy of God? How many want to have a happy life in general? I do. Praise the Lord. So we have to make adjustments. And the adjustments come when we hear what God is trying to tell us. Praise the Lord. Okay, so You can look at the Bible, at all the different people in the Bible that God spoke to. Some listened and some didn't. Look at Noah. He heard what God said. He got blessed. Look at Cain. He didn't listen. He didn't get blessed. Daniel listened. He got delivered from the lion's den. Pharaoh didn't listen. Got buried in the ocean. You got Joseph. Got delivered. Got promoted. Ruled the world. You got Samson, who lost his eyesight, his ministry, and everything. You got Moses that came out of Egypt, led the people out. And then you got Solomon, married 1,000 women. God told him not to marry. They drove him crazy. He lost God, lost his ministry, lost his wisdom, and went crazy. You got Abraham that left there, became the father of many nations. You got Judas, who lived with Jesus and took him for granted and never got any benefit from being around Jesus. You got Sodom and Gomorrah, who got burned to ashes. And you got Mary, who said, whatever he says to you, do it. You've got Jonah, who went wild, got inside of a big fish, got vomited out, covered in vomit. You got Esther, who delivered her entire country and nation because she did what God told her to do. Praise the Lord. Can anybody say anything about anything to anything? Praise God. Lift your hands and shout a little bit and say, that's a word from the Lord. I think God is trying to tell me something. Can everybody lift your hand and say, Lord, I want to hear what you're trying to tell me. I really, really do. Praise the Lord. Okay. So there's disorders then, and we're going to talk about that. Remember what I said at the beginning, that Satan lives in sick ears. You can tell some people who have a sick ear, for example, I love you, and they don't hear that word. They hear what their experience tells them. Because in reality, most people interpret their life by their experiences. So what really happens is our experience becomes our Bible, instead of our Bible changing our experience. Praise the Lord. We don't want to be ruled by what we have experienced. We want to be ruled by what we can experience based on what God tells us is possible. Amen? This is how it works. God saves your future by healing your past. Once God heals your past, your future changes. You no longer are going to experience the same future because you're no longer living within the pain that's inside you. It's now been healed and removed, so your future is totally different because you're operating not from pain, but you're operating from faith. Praise the Lord. Go ahead and give somebody a high five and say, snap out of it. All right, so, and how many of you have ever been lied to in your life? Let me see your hands. How many have ever been lied to? And how many of you have ever been lied to by a person that you thought you could trust? How many of you have ever had a close friend betray you? Now, I don't know, you know, I'm not comparing myself to anybody, and nobody is, but understand that I am not speaking to you from a position where I read a book and got the information out to preach to you. I got this from my own life. And I can assure you that all of you that have been betrayed by people you trust understand the depth of the loss of trust in mankind. That it can ruin your life so badly that you no longer trust people. And let me just tell you, it is the devil's plan for you not to be able to trust anybody. Because the devil wants you alone. Because like any predator, he separates you from the crowd and from the herd. And then he devours you because you're alone and your strength is much diminished when you stand alone compared than when you stand with an army of people who are protecting you. Praise the Lord. So, I'm just saying to you, we really need to be able to trust God first. And there are certain people that God brings into your life. I'm recommending to you that you trust Robert and Laura. I'm recommending that to you. I've never known Robert to tell a lie or Laura to tell a lie or them to break their word to me in all the years that I've known them. Praise the Lord. I can tell you this. I would trust Robert and Laura with my wife and my children and anything I own. I would. I really would. And there's not too many people I can say that about. A handful, maybe four or five. And they're number one on the list, not second or third or fourth. And I'm not saying that as flattery. I'm just saying, you know, they put their life where their mouth is. You can't just throw away people like that. Those are people to be cherished. A man says he'll do something and he does it. Wow, that is a rare thing. Praise God. Would you hug two people and say, is that your original hair color? Because I've never seen that before. It's really interesting, all the different varieties. Let me go through these quickly, and then we'll be done with part one of what we're going to minister to you. But tonight, we're going to talk to you about the ear medicines and the sacred voices and the blessings of being able to hear. It's really powerful. But hear this for a second. These are some of the things that I found out about hearing. That people, why people don't hear. They sit in church and they look at you and they shout and they cry and they laugh, but they don't really, you know, hear what they're saying. My mother one time told me, I was about 8 or 9, and she said, I don't ever go into my closets. Do not go into my closets. My mother used to sell clothes, and she had winter, spring, summer, and fall wardrobes. And she said, do not, that's sacred. Do not ever go in there, ever, ever do not go in there. I watched Tarzan one day on a Saturday, and I just got all inspired by watching him because he had that leopard skin little thing that he wore, you know, and a spear and a knife, and he was swinging from the trees. And you know, an eight-year-old, you want to be Tarzan. And I just had to be Tarzan. And I went into her closet, and in the back I found a Black Panther coat still in the plastic. I tore the plastic off. And I looked inside, and it was leopard skin on the inside. So I got a knife, and I tore out all the lining from the inside, and I put two holes in there and put it on, and then tied it on with shoelaces and stood in the front of the mirror. Oh, Goa! And I got the broom, and I broke the head off, and I stuck a knife in there, and I taped it up, and I got a knife, put it in my mouth, got the water hose, threw it over the tree, and was just swinging all afternoon. Just over the, and it went over the street, so cars would pass underneath, and I'd be swinging, and the little leopard thing. And my mom came home, and her eyes came out of her head. They just shot out, and I ran and hid in the bathroom, in the tub. And she knocked on the door, and she said, you know, if you don't open the door, you're going to die twice. I was in so much trouble for so long. I'm still in trouble right now, I think. Let's go over the things that God's going to heal tonight. Just so you have an idea. The reason why you can't get from God and receive from God what he's trying to give you, even though you listen to it. Why we don't hear. Our ears are sick. First, you have what I call the distracted listener. Martha was busy doing everything. Mary was sitting at his feet. She was hearing. But when you're distracted by things, God is speaking to you, but you can't hear it because you're distracted with your phone or your iPad. Where are we going to eat? How long is he going to preach? Is this going to go on forever and ever? And you have distractions. You cannot hear what God is saying to you when you're distracted. Two, and this is really important, is the disinterested listener. If you read in the Bible, Paul was preaching, and he preached for a long time, and there was a young man sitting on the window, and he fell out of the window and died. And Paul had to go resurrect him from the dead because he fell asleep during the preaching because he was not interested in what was being said. How can God heal you if you're not interested in being healed? How can God save your marriage if you're not interested in having it saved? How can God change you if you're not interested in being changed? You can't receive. That's because of the sick ears. Praise the Lord. Look at someone and say, I'm getting something out of this. You have the doubting listener. Notice that Jesus went to his own hometown to preach, but it says he could not do many miracles there because of their doubt. Doubt is spiritual birth control. It's how you stop God's dreams from growing in your life. Where your doubt begins, your dream ends. And do you want your dreams to come true? How many of you want your dreams to come true? Then we can't doubt when God gives us a promise to hold on to. How many of you have promises from God? Let me see your hands. How many of you have a promise from God and you say, I believe this can happen? You can't doubt it. You know, Abraham didn't doubt. Praise the Lord. It took 20 years for Abraham to have his dream come true, but because he didn't doubt, he got it. These guys lost their healing and deliverance because they said, Jesus can't do any miracles. He was a carpenter. What's he doing here? Get out of here. You don't have anything. Praise the Lord. Four is the deceived listener, a person that comes to church and is already deceived about the Bible and God and life and everything, cannot get any truth and cannot be delivered and blessed because he's deceived in his listening. When he's listening, he's already believing a lie. And that's what the Bible says, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. So they exchanged the truth for a lie. You and I have to be careful that we don't have deceptions in our heart about the Bible or God or the things God has to use to bless us. Can you imagine if a person believes that the Bible is not written by God? Then they have no source of reference to be delivered because they have no faith in what God is saying from the Bible. The number one strategy of Satan is to diminish the Bible so you have no faith in its words and it has no power to change you. It's any book, just throw it around. It means nothing. No, this is the sacred word of God written by the Holy Spirit, given to people. This word of God can change you. It can transform your DNA. It can change your marriage, your personality. It can heal your circumstances. It can get you out of poverty. It can get you out of disease. It can get you out of all sorts of problems, but only if you believe in it and have faith in it. It's the same with the name of Jesus. Have you ever noticed that nobody cusses in the name of Buddha? But in every language, they use the name of Jesus. Every language uses the name of Jesus to cuss because Satan is the cusser. And so he tries to diminish the name of Jesus and turn it into a cuss word so that it has no authority to the person who uses it. Because the name of Jesus can heal diseases, resurrect the dead, open every kind of circumstance, remove mountains, and change the entire world if a man or a woman has faith in the power of that name. But if it's a cuss word, they have no faith in it, so the name of Jesus does not work. Deception. The deceived listener can't get anything out of anything. So they sit in church for years and see things and hear things, and nothing changes them because they have been deceived somewhere along the way. Praise the Lord. Give someone a high five and say, snap out of it. He's talking to you. You have the defiled listener. Listen to this. The sin of your sister Sodom was this. She lived with her daughters in the lap of luxury, proud, gluttonous, and lazy. They ignored the oppressed and the poor. They put on airs and lived obscene lives. And you know what happened to them. Praise the Lord. That is because they were defiled. When somebody comes to church and they have made a covenant with some dark thing in their life, and they say, I don't care what the preacher says or God says or the Bible says, I'm not letting go of this in my life. I want this and I'm keeping this. I want my cocaine. I want my reefers. I want my Bud Light and I'm keeping it. And I don't care who says anything about it. La, 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 la. And when you are defiled, then you cannot hear what God is trying to tell you because it requires for you to choose sides. So a lot of people just won't do it. Praise the Lord. It's really important. Don't feel bad if I'm talking about you. It's an accident. I promise it's an accident. I'm not talking about you like I know you. This is an accident. It just happens in the midst of, you know, preaching from the Bible. It just, the Bible seems to like to apply to people. It's a crazy thing. Then you have the disturbed listener, like the prodigal son's brother who got offended. You can't hear God if you're offended. If you're already mad at me right now, everything that I said from the point you got offended on, you didn't hear because you're mad. You're disturbed. Or if you come in here mad at somebody else, or if you come in here with your heart broken, or you're wounded, or you're bleeding, or you're depressed, or you're sad, or you're weeping, it's very difficult for God to reach you when you are disturbed. All these things need to be dealt with before you read your Bible, before you hear a message, before, so God's Word can get through to you and produce in you what He wants to produce. Praise the Lord. Lift your right hand and say, "Holy, holy, I forgive everybody." Then you have the disconnected listener, and this is a person who comes to church or reads about or hears about God, and they're completely disconnected by indifference. And this is the way the Lord told it to me. Indifference is spiritual abortion. Indifference is spiritual abortion. It's how you literally abort God's plan for your life. You are indifferent to it. Praise God. Let's not be indifferent. All right? Listen to this. Let's not be indifferent. Whoever is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. This is the reason that you do not listen to those words to me, because you do not belong to God and are not of God. Isn't that a freaky thing? Praise the Lord. We're disconnected sometimes from the Lord Himself, so we don't hear what the Lord's saying to us. How many have ever been in love? Let me see. How many have ever been in love in your life? Huh? How many have ever been in love? Okay, it's going down now, going down, going down. Isn't it amazing that if you love a person, you actually hear what they have to say until you stop loving them, and then you stop listening to them? Mm-hmm. When you fall in love, you're like, "Oh, what do you want? What do you need? 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 What do you want? What do you need?" And then you stop loving them. Yeah, get it yourself. Do your own thing. You always want everything. And shut up. Leave me alone. And stop bugging me. Because human love is like that. It's very transitory, very fragile, very, very conditional. My wife, I got a revelation years ago to just do whatever she told me. And it has been the greatest blessing to my life. Really. It really has. I totally respect the wisdom and discernment of my wife. And I said, "Well, you're going to risk not looking macho like all your friends." I said, "Look, what do they give me? I don't sleep with my friends. I sleep with my wife. I don't live with my friends. I live with my wife. I don't have to face my friends. I have to face my wife. I'm listening to her. Praise God." Somebody look at somebody and say, "He's talking to you. I can feel it. I can feel it." Only a dumb man won't listen to somebody that's smarter than them. Praise the Lord. Because a smart man knows his weaknesses and finds people who don't have them to give them their strength. And that's how you become stronger and better and wiser. Only a proud man refuses to be corrected. Hallelujah. Go turn to somebody and say, "Is he going to quit yet?" Praise God. I'm almost done. And then we have what I call truth prejudices. A truth prejudice is this: for the time is coming when people will not tolerate or endure sound and wholesome instruction, but having ears itching for something pleasing and gratifying, they will gather to themselves teachers after their own considerable number, chosen to satisfy their own liking and to foster the errors they hold to be precious. Truth prejudice. It means that there are people who aren't going to want to hear what God has to say. They're going to want to hear only the things that God says they like. Some people only want to hear about grace. They don't want to hear about the fear of the Lord. Some people only want to hear about, the second coming or things about the last days. They don't want to hear about how to forgive people. They have prejudices towards the truth. Remember, every truth that you have a prejudice against, you protect yourself from its power. Amen? Sometimes you don't need to hear that God loves you. You need to hear that if you keep doing that, it's going to destroy your life. Sometimes you need to hear that God loves you. And not that something's going to destroy your life. Truth prejudice. You have to be careful that you don't become so prejudicial towards messages that you only want to hear the messages you like, not the messages you actually need. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Give somebody a high five and say, man, I love Brother Ivan's preaching. Praise God. This is really getting to me. See, it's no different than racism, ladies and gentlemen. This is just biblical racism. It's being a racist towards the Bible and messages and things like that. And there are a lot of people like that. They get on the kicks. Instead of the whole counsel of God, they become Bible butchers. And you better never follow a Bible butcher, because he'll butcher your soul with lopsided, unbalanced truth. And then you will become a warped person with a giant ear and no legs. Or a huge nose and no mouth. Okay, I'll keep going because I know you want me to. Because you're not like into eating or anything like that. And I'm almost done. I normally don't go to 12:20. But I'm doing it. And this is really important. A lot of people, their ears are sick because they have what I'm calling messenger offense. Messenger offense is when you don't like who it is that's telling you things. Have you ever had somebody tell you the truth, but you hated who they were? And you just said, I ain't going to receive it just because it's you and I hate your guts. Shut your mouth. Who do you think you are telling me anything, you hypocrite? It's not that what they're saying is not true. It's you just don't like them. Notice what the Bible says. It says, speak the truth in love. But it never says, receive the truth only when it's spoken in love. And that's what we think. We think if the messenger is unqualified, then the message has to be unjustified. Understand that God sometimes will tell you what you need to hear through your enemies. Not just your friends. Because your enemies have no mercy on your feelings. Would you hug two people and say, man, I hate a lot of people. I don't know if I can hear everything I got to say. I just want to shoot them all. Praise the Lord. And that's what happens. We get offended at the preacher. Oh, he's too loud. He's too quiet. Oh, he doesn't dress right. Oh, he dresses too cool. Oh, he's got a suit. Oh, he doesn't have a suit. He's got a mustache. He doesn't have a mustache. Oh, he's fat. Oh, he's skinny. Oh, he's dead. And so we can't receive anything because we're just destroying the messenger. Praise God. Does God love you? Are you hearing or are you just listening? Is anybody in the building? Raise your hands and wave them and say, man, I need this, Brother Ivan. Praise the Lord. All right, so I'm almost done. This will be my last point. And finally, you have the egotistical listener. And this is another one of the worst diseases there is. When it comes to hearing. And that is a person who is so egotistical and vain, they actually believe they know more than you do. So they can't receive from anybody they perceive to be less knowledgeable than they are. They can't receive from people who are not more successful than they are or wiser than they are. So they're limited in what God can tell them because they have so limited the field of people that can speak to them because of their vanity and pride. A humble person can receive from a donkey. A proud person can only receive from people they admire. And if they're really proud, there's no one on earth they can receive from because they are themselves God. Praise the Lord. Receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Praise the Lord. So we can't be proud when God is speaking to us. We have to be humble. Prosperity is one of the worst silencers of truth. Because how can you tell a person who has millions of dollars and got them from crime that what they're doing is wrong when you're driving a Volkswagen and they're driving Mercedes Benzes? Because success silences truth. Unless they are aware that what they got from God. Then it becomes a weapon and a blessing. Praise the Lord. Put my music on. Close your eyes for a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. And tonight we'll have some powerful healings and deliverances in this area. And how many of you believe this is important for you to be able to hear what God is trying to tell you? My sheep hear my voice, and they will not follow the voice of a stranger. God is speaking to a lot of people right now. He's told you things over the last year or two, things you should change, things you should do, things you shouldn't do, areas of your life you need to stop, and areas of your life where you need to start. God has done that. And it's no different this morning. Your life can change today. Your life can change so quickly in just this one moment of time. Right here on a Sunday morning in Utopia, Texas, your life could change. If you are hearing with your heart, remember that defining moments occur when you listen with your heart before your head. Close your eyes for a moment. Let me ask you this question. Are you 100% sure that if you die today, you will go to heaven? Can you say that you have no doubts that whenever you die, you're going to go directly to heaven? Because if you are not 100% sure, God wants to give you peace about heaven. He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can do that. You cannot buy that peace. Only God can give a person that peace. If you say, I want that peace and I do not have it. If you say, I want that peace. I'm going to ask you to do something simple right where you're sitting. If you want that peace in your heart so that you know that when you die, you'll go to heaven. I just want you to lift your hand right where you're sitting. And then I'm going to pray for you. And God is going to give you that peace that only He can give to you today. So if that's you, just lift your hand high enough for me to see it. Okay? I see your hand right there. I see your hand right there. Nice and high. I see your hand right there. I see your hand. I'm going to pray for you, and God is going to change your life right now. Now, if you lifted your hand, I just want you to stand right where you're at. And I'm going to pray for you right now. Just stand to your feet right where you're at. If you lifted your hand. And let's believe God that if you're already a Christian, your doubts will go away. And if you're not sure, that peace of God will come into your heart right now. That wonderful peace of God. Now, those of you that are standing, would you look at me for 1 second? Could I have your permission to pray for you? I will not embarrass you or make you say anything to anybody, but I would like to have your permission. If I do, would you wave your hand at me? May I pray for you, sir? May I pray for you? Okay, I'm not going to embarrass you. Would you come and stand right here in front with me real quick? Just walk right up here, then I'll let you sit down. I just want to look at you, and I'm going to pray for you right now. And we're going to take care of this so that when you go to bed tonight, this will never be something you have to doubt again. Praise the Lord. Could you give them a hand for coming up here? And I'd like you to clap like your mama's up here or your daddy's up here or maybe somebody you love. You know, because somebody loves these four people. Somebody loves them. Praise the Lord. And it's a tormenting thing to not be sure about things. And God doesn't want that for our lives. Would you extend your hands towards them as an act of blessing? And I'm going to pray for them right here, right now. What's your name, sir? Alberto? Rowdy? Bill? Thomas? So let's pray for these four men that came forward. And let's ask the Holy Spirit to give them what they're asking for. Close your eyes and everybody say this prayer with me right now. Say, Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need your forgiveness. Would you forgive me for everything I have ever done that I feel guilty about? Would you take these doubts and remove them from my mind? Would you write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Would you give me the assurance that I am in the hollow of your hand and that I will go to heaven when I die? I forgive all the people that have wounded me, abused me, and hurt me in my life. I turn my back on the world and the devil and yield myself to be your servant. I also forgive myself. And I ask for the power to live a life for you. I am forgiven. I have forgiven. I am going to heaven. You're in my heart. My name is in your book. I am going to heaven. And the devil is a liar. I am not guilty. I am not guilty. I am not guilty. Amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let me minister to all four of you for just a minute, and then I'll let you sit down. You know, the road, Alberto, the road that you've been on just changed. So the road you've been on, sometimes there's potholes in there, sometimes there's ditches, sometimes there's mud, sometimes you slip and slide, but you're not on that road now. You're now on a road that is straight. God is on that road and He's your guide. He's going to guide you, Alberto, to your real destiny because you're going to be a good and great man. God has a lot of wonderful plans for you. Plans that you can't make up for yourself. These are the plans that God had for you while you were still inside of your mother's womb. And He says that you're going to be a man with a lot of courage, a lot of boldness. You're going to help alcoholics get off of alcohol. You're going to help drug addicts get delivered from drugs. Your home will become a place of great rest and peace. And God wants me to tell you that you're forgiven and you don't have to ever feel guilty about anything ever again. It is forgiven and is gone. and God is going to give you a whole new life. And I want you to memorize the scriptures. John 1:12. I believe they're recording it. Are you recording it? John 1:12, Jeremiah 29:11, Joshua chapter 1, 5 through 8, and Isaiah 54:17. When you have time, Alberto, get these scriptures and memorize them out of the Amplified, and they're going to really make you strong on the inside. You be at peace now and keep on this road. Stay on the road. Don't veer to the right or to the left. Stay with God all your life. I promise you this, Alberto, He will never disappoint you all of your life. Praise the Lord. Congratulations, buddy. God bless you. Praise the Lord. And you're Rowdy. Yeah, I wonder how they gave you that name. Rowdy, listen, let me just give you this word. I'm thinking about you. You know that some days become very dark for some people. It's like a cloud comes over their life. And you can see people everywhere that have a cloud over them. But you are going to live a cloudless life. People won't ever have to get you out of a bar. They're never going to have to get you out of some dungeon or dark place within yourself. Because God is baptizing you right now with a gift of joy. And you're going to be a man. You know, joy comes when we conquer sin. Joy is the fruit of purity. And God is going to make you a pure man. You have pure mind. You have a pure heart. You have a pure soul. Everything and everybody you meet, you'll spread joy to them. You're about to enter. It's like a fish that is on the seashore. They're flapping and gasping for air. And all they want is to be put back into the water. And you've been like that, gasping for air, flapping, wanting to get into the place you're supposed to be. Now that's where God has picked you up today. And He's throwing you back into the waters of life. And you're going to find that you really have a place in God. Rowdy was born to do something special for God, and you're going to be in the place you're supposed to be, doing what you were supposed to be doing. God is giving you that. That doesn't come from a man. I don't have power to give you anything, but God is going to give you that. You're going to wreck hell. You're going to destroy the strongholds of the devil. You're going to swim with fish that could devour you in the past, but now they will follow you to the one who has captured you and set you free. Praise the Lord. Be at peace, Rowdy, and walk with the Lord and serve the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray for Brother Bill today. If any man in this building is going to heaven, it's Brother Bill. Amen? Praise the Lord. But that doesn't mean sometimes doubt doesn't come. But the doubt's gone. Brother Bill, you're going to heaven. I guarantee you, you don't ever have to worry about that. I'm telling you that from my heart, that you are a good man, Brother Bill. You're a saint of God. And that God has... You have love in you, and a man doesn't get love from the devil, he gets love from God. And the love you have, Jesus gave to you. You are a tender man, you are a gentle man, you are a kind and loving man. You wouldn't hurt a fly. You wouldn't take advantage of anybody or use anybody or do anything. So God is stretching His hand out to you, Brother Bill, along with the people in the congregation right now. They're stretching their hands out to you. And we're healing your body through the name of Jesus Christ and by what He did at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And we're saying that you're getting a full healing, not halfway or three quarters, but a full healing from your head down to your feet. That you feel the strength of Almighty God every morning when you wake up. That your back will not hurt, and your shoulders and your muscles and your skin and your feet, and your mind will be clear like a young boy. and you will remember things you had totally forgotten. You'll remember stories of your youth. You're going to write down the stories for your family. You're going to write down your life story for your family. You're going to put it all down in a book, and then they'll read it. And it'll lead people to God. It'll inspire people to serve God and be loyal to God and love God. And the Lord says you still have many fruitful seasons to come. Do not fear death, but live in the light of the joy of life, because you have been chosen by God to live in green pastures and by still waters. This is your inheritance and your portion, and nobody can take that from you. We bless our brother Bill today from head to toe in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen, everybody. Praise the Lord. And let's tell me your name again, brother. Thomas. Let's pray for Thomas today. You know, Thomas, throughout your life, people have done things throughout your life, of course, that hurt you. And even as a little boy, and things have happened in your life that you wished hadn't happened. And have made you made certain decisions throughout your life. But you know, God is a restorer. He fixes broken things. And he makes them better than they were when they were originally made. And this is what I believe God is telling me to tell you. He's going to make you better than you were originally made. He's replacing many of the parts of your life. He's given you a new heart. He'll give you a new mind. He'll give you a new personality. He'll give you new desires. He'll give you an anointing. And you're going to be the kind of person that surprises people, because expectancy from some people sometimes is very low towards us. But God's going to change who you are in the next 7 years. And you are going to become someone like a test pilot. You know, a test pilot is a person that is assigned to get in a plane that nobody can guarantee won't crash. But they're willing to risk their lives to do it. And the Lord says that to you today. I'll give you the heart of a test pilot who, for the benefit of humanity, will risk his life to do something no one has done before. God is going to put something in your heart, and you're going to do it, because God's not done with you. He's just beginning. Praise the Lord. You're going to do some great things in your life, Thomas. And you're not a doubting Thomas. You're a man of faith. Praise God. So I bless all four of you today. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Alberto. And thank you, Rowdy and Brother Bill and Thomas. Thank you so much for coming this morning. I hope I ministered to you. And God bless you. Be back tonight because you really need it. Praise the Lord. All right. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's give the Lord a hand tonight, everybody. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm done with the preaching for this morning. And it's 12:41. I don't think I've ever preached this long. But I felt like I needed to kind of complete that to do tonight. I think it was okay with Pastor Robert. Hopefully I didn't put too many of you to sleep. But tonight at 6:30, we'll do our second service. We have always a lot of needs at the church, at the orphanages. I'll show you some videos tonight of all the beautiful children, the new ones we've got. And we got all kinds of beautiful breakthroughs going on and a lot of exciting things happening with all of that. Pastor Robert is raising money to put the roof on the third level of our school. We've gotten 8,000 feet of that finished, which is being used now. It's a total of 24,000 feet that's going to be done. And I think he's going to raise 30,000 to put the trusses on and the roof and all that. So we really appreciate that. All kinds of needs are going on, but I'll tell you all about that tonight. Whatever you give in the offering, thank you for giving it. I promise you I'll use it for serving the Lord and doing the will of God and accomplishing everything. So give a $2 or $3 million offering. That'll be really great. Praise the Lord. I promise you we need every penny of it. But we got about 1,500 kids in Africa. I'm going there on Monday, leaving that we're taking care of. And then we got close to 70 or 80 kids there in Guatemala, and a couple of other houses that have opened up, and another one that we're trying to finish. So a lot of that we're believing God for. So praise the Lord, and God bless you. May God move on you mightily. Have a great afternoon wherever you eat. Listen to each other and listen to the Lord. Here's Pastor Robert. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Ivan. Ushers, help me right quick. We want to take up our offering.